Hey, Penny Droppers. Today I want to share how something that started as a pretty disappointing conversation ended up being one of the most magical experiences of my life. Okay, that might be overstating it a little bit, but I'll let you make the decision. So last Saturday morning, I was standing next to the soccer field at my six-year-old's soccer game, and I was having a chat with a mum, and she was explaining that she'd been woken early that morning. She was feeling really tired because a friend of hers had called her at 3 a.m. or something ridiculous like that, telling her to go outside and watch the Aurora Australis, so the southern lights. As soon as she told me that, I was instantly annoyed at myself because I knew it was happening and I just didn't remember at all that it was happening that morning. While I thought it was on my radar, it clearly wasn't, and I certainly didn't know that I'd need to get up that early in the morning to see it. So I left soccer pretty disappointed, pretty pissed off, pretty annoyed. And then later that evening, I got the kids in bed and, you know, it became dark. And I remember looking out the window and I kind of went, that's weird. Because although it was dark, it was still kind of light. And it took me a few moments, but then I was like, I know what this is. I got really excited. I grabbed my phone. I yelled at my husband to follow me. And I stepped outside and there it was. The southern lights all around me. It was magical. And I was sort of standing there looking up and marveling at the purples, the pinks and the greens, and they were swirling around in the sky. And of course, then I marveled again as all of those colours were amplified as I looked at them through the lens of just my iPhone, which could pick up much more than I could see with my naked eye. I was feeling kind of lucky because I got to see what I thought I had missed. And so once I'd taken all my photos and I'd taken it all in, I quickly opened up my favourite WhatsApp groups to share these images with my friends and family. And very quickly, I realised that my social feeds had already exploded with images of the aurora. And it did not stop in my feed. Pretty quickly, these images were everywhere. They were on the TV, they were on every website. The next day they were in newspapers. And at one point, I remember opening Instagram and there were 21 Instagram stories in a row, all of the aurora. And what I couldn't stop thinking about is that you didn't need to see the Aurora Australis to see the Aurora Australis. And I soon found out that I didn't need to see the Northern Hemisphere's Aurora Borealis to see the Aurora Borealis. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Apologies if I've got the pronunciation wrong. So the solar flares, that's easier to say, they captured a global audience. And that was thanks to everyone sharing their actual view, rather than opinions, their actual view online. So if it wasn't visible directly, it was indirectly. If you couldn't see it in the sky, you could see it on your phone. You might realise that I am doing a massive metaphor build here. So what is it? Well, the same is true for any interview that we do. We need to take it out of the sky. So out of the podcast feed, out of the magazine, out of the conference, and post it somewhere so more people can see it on their phones. I mean, sure, everyone could find and listen to the actual interview, just like everyone could fly to the best spot in the world, Tasmania, to watch the Aurora Australis, but they won't. I mean, even if it's easy, say they actually live in Tasmania and only need to walk outside to see a natural phenomenon, chances are they've got other priorities and might forget about it and probably wouldn't commit to a 3 a.m. wake up anyway. And look, I know that this seems obvious. There's a mountain of research that tells us we'll find a bigger audience if we repurpose our content. And there's even more research that tells us that the reach and impact of what we post online is significantly amplified by what happens after the initial posting. It's still a pretty easy step to undervalue. We try and find all of the excuses in the world to get out of it. Let's not. Let's give all the hard work and effort that we've put into this interview its best chance to blow up online. And I reckon there are three things that we need to try and tick off after every interview so that we can appropriately extend its reach, its life, and its value. So the first thing, share it. This is about amplifying what the host or the outlet posts to your networks. And I know this sounds like a no-brainer, but if you forget to share your handles, then it's really easy to miss these posts. So don't forget to share your handles. You need to engage actively as well. Like, comment, and share their posts. And for extra points, you can share content from earlier episodes or articles from that outlet or host or journalist that resonate with you, because that'll help to not only build the anticipation of your appearance, but it'll also show support for their platform. That'll help you build relationships and also possibly lead to reciprocity. So share it. The next one, shape it. So this is about tailoring the content to resonate with your ideal audience, whether they are current followers or potential clients. So that's about posting great grabs from a podcast or reflecting on key moments from a panel interview, or maybe creating a tile of a killer quote from another media interview that you've done. You can use these opportunities to not only provide value to your audience, but also highlight your capacity to share great IP well. So shape it. Finally, archive it. Ugh, it sounds boring, but we can extend the life of this content and maximize the impact that it can have. When you've been featured on someone else's podcast, panel, or publication, that gives you instant credibility as the audience believes that there's been some sort of vetting process that's happened by the host or producer. And that credibility has a long life. So consider how you can repurpose this content, this interview, in the future. Could you use it in a keynote or a grab of it in a keynote? Could you use it in a podcast reel? Could it be some pre-listening material for a workshop? Or maybe it could be used as an introduction to potential clients. It's really important to do that extra bit of work to organize and store each interview so that you can easily and effectively share it in the future. So share it, shape it, archive it. And I tell you what, I cannot wait to see my Instagram stories full of bits of content from your interviews. I would like to see 21 posts in a row, please. See how you go. Now, next week, we're going to move from the blow up to the glow up. So three things that you can do to shine up your skills to make sure that each interview is better than the last. Now, it'll feel a bit cringe, but probably the best thing that you can do to be a better guest. That's next week. Couple of reminders for you. I have got a special 30-minute session that I'm running in a couple of weeks' time, Monday the 27th of May at 4 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, 2024. I don't know when you're listening to this. It's a way for you to find out if podcast guesting is going to be a good strategy for you. I'll be there chatting and I'll take you through some stuff, and there'll also be an opportunity for you to ask any questions of me. So there is a link to register for that session. It's totally free, but I just want to know who might be coming along. You'll find that link in the show notes, or as I always say, it's sometimes easier to just find me on LinkedIn, Penny Terry, or if you are already sold and you know you need to be on more podcasts, or in the media, or on panels at conferences, and you just need some help getting all your stuff together, then get on the wait list for my 3-hour online workshop. There will be no obligation to sign up to the actual workshop. It just means that you will get first dibs on early bird tickets. So just send me an email, penny@pennyterry.com, saying wait list, and I will put your email on that list. And yeah, I'll be in touch. We're going to do all sorts of stuff, like work out what podcasts you should approach. We'll make sure that you've got a bio that can influence the questions you're asked. We'll develop a pitch template that you can use over and over again. We'll sort out your key messages. We'll make sure that they are interesting and full of stories. And we're going to practice turning those key messages into conversations or into great answers. Plus, we'll set you up for everything that you can do after interviews to make sure that you can be at your best as a guest. Right. Well, That feels like a very boring, formal way to end the episode. Maybe I'll just go back to my Instagram feed. Have a look at the photos of the Aurora again. Sorry. I'll talk to you next week.